I was very lucky because I met David, and I needed to get a portfolio together for Pratt. I mean, not for Pratt. I mean, it was at Pratt, and I needed to get a portfolio so you can go out and get a job. And I had met David through Carl, and so I went over to his office one day and showed him my portfolio, and I said, "This is nothing that I really like." It was things that I had to do when I was at Pratt. Pratt was at that point still very Bauhaus, but it wasn't really anything I really liked. I kind of, and he said, "Well, you shouldn't have that in your portfolio. That's if you don't like it, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you show that to anybody?" Oh, makes sense. anyway, and then it kind of ended up, we went on a, had dinner together after we go into a concert together, and he asked me to go to Mexico with him, and I said, "Oh, sure, I'll go. That'd be wonderful." And so, anyway, that was like a Friday night. He goes home, and I go home, and I call him on Monday morning, and I say, "Well, I've got something I need to talk to you about." And so anyway, we go to lunch, and I say, "Oh, I'm engaged to be married," and he was kind of looked at me, and he said, "Well, I don't know what to tell you, but you can't have your life both ways. If you think you can have a life being married and being gay, you can't, because you're going to hurt somebody." And he said, "If you want to screw up your life, screw your life up. Don't screw somebody else's life up."
Yeah.
So he said, "Just make up your mind. What do you want to do?"
Yeah.
So anyway, I called the girl and I said, I went out and saw her. She was going to the University of Michigan, and I said, "I can't get married." Didn't give her really an excuse. I just said, "I can't get married." And I went to Mexico, and David and I went together. David was very much that way, where he kind of looked at something and said, and gave you good advice, and said, "I don't know what, you know, you have to make up your own mind, but this is what I would do, or this is good, you know, this is sound advice."
It was so sound advice.
Yeah, so I was very lucky with, like, Betty Conheim telling me to get out of Tulsa.
Right.
And I was very lucky that he did what he did. And I made a right turn when I should have made a right turn, you know.
Exactly.
Two times in my life, and changed my life.
Right.
I was very lucky.
You know, and this could be a whole nother story about you being gay, David being gay, and that's a whole nother story,
of
life and either how you were, there was prejudice.
When we were first together, he had a separate line, telephone line, and I had a separate telephone line, and I wouldn't answer his line, he wouldn't answer mine. And it wasn't, I mean, eventually that died away, but you know, even traveling, our travel agent would put it David Easton and Party. And so I was always, they wouldn't put my name on it. So, but they knew there was a guest that was going to be in David's room. And I remember coming out to the Beverly Hills Hotel, and I arrived and David wasn't there yet. But I knew we had a reservation. I said, "Well, it's under David Easton." And I said, "Well, it's David Easton and Party." And I said, "Well, I'm the Party." And they said, "Well, we can't give you a room." And so eventually that changed, but you know, stuff like that you just thought, "Oh my God, I don't know," you know. And David was very even careful with clients. He didn't tell anybody for a long time, and then he finally, I remember he went to dinner one night at the Weavers, and he was supposed to come home for dinner, and he didn't come home. It was like 10:30 at night. And so I got dressed and I was going to head down to the office to see where he was, what was going on. And all of a sudden he walks through the door and I said, "Where have you been?" And he said, "Well, I was at the Weavers," and they said, "Why don't you stay for dinner?" And I said, "And you couldn't call me?" He said, "Well, I didn't know how to." I said, "Well, you could have said, 'Hello, Susie, I'm not going to be meet you. I can't meet you. I don't care. Just call me. Don't do that. You know, don't ever do that to me again." And so I think from then on, he all of a sudden started, "Okay, well, this is what we're going to do. I'm introducing you and you're introducing me, and that's the way it's going to be." And we just started doing it. Living in New York helped because you're much more acceptable society. But even out here, I mean, I would never told my parents.
No.
Mm-mm. My dad died when I was 30. He never knew, I don't think. And I was with David then for 5 years. And when my mother got sick with ovarian cancer, so I was out here with my brothers, and I said, So I said, and I don't think they even knew. I said, well, maybe they, I said, you know, I live with David. And I said, should something happen to me, you're not going to come to the hospital and decide what's going to happen. David's going to make the decisions. And I said, I don't know how you're going to tell mother, but that's what we're going to have to do. I mean, if that would happen. And so anyway, so I thought, well, how will I never thought I would tell my mother. And so I thought, if she, and she got to know that I was with David, that he was my friend, but she never asked. And I thought, if she asked me, I will tell her. But I didn't think she wanted to explain that to her friends, just because of the era that she grew up in and just out here in Oklahoma. And I thought, okay, that's fine by me, but I'm happy, you know, I don't care. Yeah. And right. Then I was perfectly happy in New York. And, you know, then David and I were just accepted. That's where life was.
Right.
Yeah. So it was never any stigma after, you know, certainly by the 80s, early 80s, there wasn't any more stigma.
Right. You must feel sorry for young people who are afraid to announce to their family.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they do, how they're ostracized.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess you don't know how your parents are going to accept it or not. I mean, I don't know if my parents, I think mother probably would have. I don't know about my dad when I think about it. I mean, I don't know. That's probably not fair, but I don't think just because of the way he grew up. And I don't think so. But anyway, so, and it's a hard, yeah, because if you're just ostracized, I mean, you know, it ended up, David was my family, even though I had two brothers. We were very, I'm close with my brothers and love my brothers, and we get along and have a good time together. But David was my family, you know. That was it. And I think most, a lot of gay people end up that way. They end up, let's say, with a partner or friends, and they become their family because mm-hmm. they're accepting and because they love them.
Right. It's been a tough way. However, maybe it was easier for you.
Easier for me than it was for, like, David.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. You know, when I first met him, let's say. I mean, it was easier for him going to school and things like that, you know. So, I mean, he was lucky to be in New York because that was probably more accepting, you know.
Yeah.
But still.
Did you question your sexuality early in life?
Well, I thought, oh, gosh. I mean, I knew I was attracted to men, but I thought, couldn't be that way. When I was in college, things happened to me, but I took a shower, and therefore that didn't happen.
Right. You know? Right.
So you just, and I thought, that's why I got engaged and got married, because that's what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to get married. And I probably would have done it had I not married David, and he'd said this.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, because you just think that's what I'm supposed to do.
When you were at Edison High School, did you date girls then?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
And you did all the things you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And you were confused too, probably.
Yeah. More so in college than I was in high school. I guess I probably didn't think much about it in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got to college, I think just by being away and just going to college mm-hmm. and just doing whatever, you know, so, but, oh yeah. It's very funny. There's this very funny book called When I Knew. And it's all these funny stories of gay men and women and when they knew. And they're just sweet and some very tender and some very just hysterical. There's one about a girl who comes down and she's telling her grandmother that she's a lesbian. And the grandmother says, no, you're not. You're Lithuanian. I mean, it's stuff like that. You got to laugh about it.
Okay, then I'm going to have advice in two areas then. To the people who are listening and their son and daughter is going to come to them and announce that they're gay, yeah. What would you say to those parents?
Well, I would say, surely you love this person and enough to respect them and respect them that they have a mind to make up their own decisions about their life, and that's okay. It can't be your life, it's mm-hmm. their life. And you should give them the opportunity and the love to have a life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So